Hello, and thank you for tuning in. You are listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. You can listen and subscribe to the show for free on Spotify, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Blog Talk Radio, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and Audible. For network or show information, visit ByteRadio.me. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my special guest is Brandi Gilmore, and we will be talking about her journey as well as her newly released book, Master Your Mind and Energy to Heal Your Body. You Can Be Your Own Cure. Brandi Gilmore is a researcher and mind-body healing expert who has been captivating audiences worldwide with her incredible ability to demonstrate radical healing using only the mind. She has even shown visual proof of the power of the mind using medical thermal imaging. Due to these breakthrough results, her case studies have been published in a prestigious medical journal, and she has also delivered a mind-expanding TEDx talk and has been featured in several documentaries. Brandi's groundbreaking discoveries stemmed from her own debilitating injury. After an accident in 2003 left her disabled, in excruciating pain, and without hope of recovery, Brandi began searching for a cure. Through years of exploring every avenue of healing, Brandi eventually discovered obscure research that changed the course of her life and resulted in a complete recovery. Now, she is releasing her brand new book, Master Your Mind and Energy to Heal Your Body, where she shares the hidden research that is the key to her success. Several researchers and doctors have referred to Brandi's new book as a must-read. It holds an incredible missing key to healing. The reality is that our minds possess an extraordinary ability to heal far beyond the placebo, and Brandi's new book helps the reader understand the missing link to mind-body healing and provides a simple step-by-step process on how we can all access this hidden healing potential of our own minds. For more information, you can visit Brandi's website, which is BrandiGilmore.com, and that's BrandiGilmore.com. And with that, I'd like to welcome Brandi to the show. Good day, Brandi.
Hello, Robert. It's wonderful to connect with you.
Thank you. I'm happy to have you with me and be talking about this. So many people have been talking about mind-body healing, and it's nice to have somebody who's actually done some research and really has kind of gone out there and shown, you know, some specifics. So I'm really looking forward to our conversation today. Great. Yeah, thank you. As I mentioned in the introduction, you had this accident in 2003 that had you confined to a wheelchair. So can you share a little bit about that period of time when that happened and what your beliefs were at the time about the ability for mind-body healing?
Absolutely. My beliefs at that time were definitely not where they are now. Now I see literally miracles on a daily basis. And at that point, I would have thought that healing with the mind was ridiculous and impossible, and I did. And also because of my situation, and I had physical ailments and physical injury, I would have thought I need a lot more than my mind to heal my physical body. So just in every way, I would have thought it was impossible, and I was, very much into allopathic medicine, and I used to do network engineering and operations, and so just very technical, which has helped me because now when I do mind-body healing, like, the science behind it actually makes sense. So the analytical mind really does help, but, you know, at that time, it didn't make sense to me. And I had had an accident, and technically two accidents. I had a car accident and then a fall, and basically, a long story short, I went from living a full life to being wheelchair, walker, cane, in extreme pain every day, and my doctor said there was nothing that they could do for me. I was a mess.
Wow, wow. And so now, you know, at that time when the doctor said there's nothing they could do, what was your mindset? I mean, did you kind of view that as, let me show you, let me prove you're wrong kind of thing?
You know, there was a point when I did exactly that, because there was a combination of things. You know, there was a point where there were some medical errors that took place, and I was frustrated, and I was like, I'm going to be more in charge of my health than anybody. So there was that phase. And there was that, and then there was also this part of me that just continued to find so many anomalies when it came to healing. For example, one of them that was really eye-opening was the awareness that people with different personalities can have different illnesses when they're in different personalities. They can have one illness or pain or ailment in one personality and a completely different one in another personality. And that didn't make sense. And so it didn't make any sense. There was even a case of a woman who was blind in some personalities but not other, not just faking it, but medically blind, and people can have different body temperatures or blood pressure, high blood pressure in some personalities, but not others. And it really made me start looking at the mind and saying, what is happening in our minds that we don't realize? Because, I mean, we can see there's even research, one study after another, that's shown the placebo or the nocebo. And all of the, every single piece of research was just pointing to the mind as having the missing cure, you know, and so I think that just kept me going also.
Yeah. Now, when you mentioned different personalities, you're talking about people who have kind of like a multiple personality disorder where a certain personality would exhibit certain ailments where another one of their personality would not.
Exactly. And same physical body, and not only that, but it's not just pretending that they're there. They're actually physically, you know, physical changes that are medically documented.
Yeah, so the body was kind of following the cues from the mind as far as, you know, what it demonstrated.
Exactly, and yet, even in these things, it's not like they're telling themselves a different ailment or a different body temperature. So that's what's also interesting. And, you know, one of the things that I found is after I was injured and I couldn't give up, you know, it just was, it's like hard to believe. When somebody tells you there's nothing else they can do, you just think, okay, well, there's nothing else you can do. I'm going to find somebody else who can. So, so it turned into a second opinion, and then a seventh opinion, and then a 27th opinion, and so you just keep going from doctor to doctor. And I started going to this research hospital where when I went in, you know, they would have 2, 3, 4 doctors come in and all evaluate and then try to figure out what the solution, you know, might be. And eventually I got into a research study, and I thought, you know, this is it. Like, I'm going to get my life back. And that's what you hope for. You know, when you're injured, you hope that somebody will just find something new, and that's the key, right? And so, long story short, I was wheeled into the hospital that day, and they started getting me prepped for this procedure, and the doctor, he comes in, and he says, you know, he comes into the room, and he says, you know, you actually can't be a part of the study. We don't expect you that. We don't expect you to help you. And I felt like I swallowed a tennis ball. I was just holding back tears, trying to at least.
not doing a very good mm-hmm. job at it, but the next day I found myself laying in my same bed in extreme pain, and I just didn't want to live. I was just like, I cannot live like this. And
yeah.
But then I had this thought or this voice come into my mind. It was like, well, what about the placebo? And that's what had me start looking at the placebo, is saying, okay, well, I'll be my own experiment. I'll figure this out then. Fine. At first I was like trying to believe I was already healed and force myself to believe I was already healed, and that wasn't working. You know, I mean, doing the affirmations mm-hmm. and the meditation and forcing myself to believe and all of these things, and it wasn't working. It wasn't working. It was years. And so finally, I came across research that showed that it was on the open-label placebo, which is exactly like it sounds. It's open-label, so both the doctor and the patient both know it's fake, and it still works. And so it made me realize that there was more to healing than just belief. And so there were just so many different insights along the way that really opened my path to healing, opened my path to spiritual awareness, helped me understand the science behind healing also.
Yeah, yeah. And like you say, you know, having that networking kind of training and work, you know, that logical approach to problem solving and that kind of thing, you know, where, you know, it would kind of prevent, you know, some of the intuitive, yet it proved valuable for you. So, you know, what this kind of shows me and kind of like what I see your story as being, for many folks who approach life from that logical, scientific, you know, show me example kind of approach to life, you know, that, you know, you can have that kind of viewpoint, but then, you know, once you kind of open up other possibilities and start, you know, making different choices, living life differently, then things can change. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, your journey from that technical, logical thinking standpoint, for a lot of people out there, you know, they're going to think, oh, you know, Randy, you know, when it started, you know, with that, and skeptical about the mind-body healing, then, you know, maybe there's something that I can do.
Exactly. And I would say that, you know, it's so funny because I went from like the analytical mind to the I'm just going to believe and meditate and theta state and hypnosis state and delta and, you know, just all of these things for years. And that didn't work. And I would say that that kind of ultimately sent me back to the logical, saying, how does this work? You know, because I had this experience where I had been working on, you know, all of the things, the meditation, the binaural beats, the visualization, the phantom-based frequencies, and staying in a frequency, and sound healing, and Reiki, and, you know, just all of the things. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't working. I mean, sure, I could get my pain down at times, but it didn't heal my body. It didn't change my life. And so I had this experience where one of my close friends at the time, her aunt was dying of lung cancer, and she called me up and she asked me if I wanted to go say goodbye before she passed. And of course, it was yes. And so she picked me up and she took me over to her aunt's house. And as I was saying goodbye and sitting there just, you know, watching this person that I love in her final days, it dawned on me that, you know, she had been in hospice for a long time, for several months, and in and out of consciousness, you know, just in this deep state of in and out of consciousness, and that's where she was. She was, and it dawned on me in that moment, it really hit me, I thought, gosh, this is what I must look like, because I was like literally meditating and visualizing and, you know, guided visualizations and all of these things and these healing programs for hours and hours and hours of just trying to, you know, deep state of relaxation. And I thought, I really Like, I thought, you know, if this deep state of relaxation was so healing, then why hasn't she healed? Why hasn't anybody in hospice who's in and out of consciousness healed? And I really, why doesn't anybody in a coma heal? I mean, I really went down a rabbit hole. Like, I have to do things in a different way, because if this was all that healing, then she would be healed by now. And so I would say it was going back to the analytical. And I think that that's also was profound, because, you know, energy is just a spiritual notion. Like, the energy of the body is a spiritual notion. It's actually proven in research. Like, there is a database that is under, it's a collaborative database that's maintained by Harvard and the Smithsonian. And this database is under the NASA agreement. And in it, there is research about the energy of the body. And not only that, but about 100 years ago now, so 1923, a medical scientist is the one who discovered that our bodies actually emit light energy. And that was, and when he did it, after that, he was nominated for the Nobel Prize 11 times, similar to the Nobel Prize in Russia. Now, most people don't even know this. And yet, this research is there. And so, understanding energy of the body, and that our minds actually can influence energy of the body, and it's in medical science, that was also profound. So in digging for the answers, and starting to find all of this hidden research, that too was really profound.
Wow. Yeah, and to have that have happened over about 100 years ago, you know, and the fact that it isn't right now common knowledge, you know, and it's, you know, energy is still kind of, for many people, you know, still that land of woo-woo, you know, rather than science.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
Exactly. I actually was talking to a medical scientist about a month ago now, and he initially was reading the energy in my book, and he was like, oh, yeah, okay, energy. And then he started looking at the research, and he goes, he was shocked, because he has been a medical scientist for 40 years and didn't realize that the energy of the body is actually being studied in top hospitals. And in this database that is maintained by the Smithsonian and Harvard, and this is the way to think about it as far as light energy is this, is the, and by the way, just so you know, there's new research that was, I mean, even just updated a couple weeks ago in this database. So it's not like it's outdated. It's not, it's not. It is a growing area of interest. It is actually being studied more and more and more, actually. And what happened with this is that when it was initially discovered in 1923, the researcher, the medical scientist who found it, his name's Alexander Gerswich, and he called it mitogenetic radiation. And then he was, you know, nominated for the Nobel Prize, et cetera, et cetera. Now, it's currently, the current name now is actually called biophotons. And so a simple way to think about it is like this, is if we think about a light bulb, light bulbs emit the little particles of light, or even the sun, it emits both particles of light. Now, biophotons are little particles of light that are emitted by biological organisms. So a plant or an animal or a human being is emitting these little particles of light. Now, what's interesting is this, you know, to test this light energy from the body, you have to be, like, in these, it feels like a bank vault that you go into, because you go in and they lock the door so it's completely black. And the reason for that is because any light would interfere it. So, you know, if you're in a room that's got a light, then you're going to have light from photons from the light bulb and the body, and it wouldn't mix it. It would mix it all up. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So either way, what's interesting about this energy from the body is modern research has even shown that cancer cells emit different light energy than healthy cells, or that people with type 2 diabetes have different patterns of emitting biophotons than that people who don't. Research also suggests that light energy communicates information throughout the body, including homeostasis. Not only that, but research has also shown that as we use our minds, like visualization or even different emotions, can affect the light energy and the patterns of energy from our body. So it's profound.
Wow. So, and I'm going to want to go into a little bit more detail as to why the simple visualization then didn't work, you know, I mean, because the idea of trying to change one's biophoton, you know, being affected by thought, then, or mind, you know, that, you know, there's obviously more to it than like you had mentioned,
yep.
You know, you went through the whole, you know, the whole gamut of alternative types of healing. Now, before we go into a little bit more about the actual working, there, in your book, you mentioned that there are several misconceptions about healing with the mind that people seem to have that might prevent them from, you know, seeing results. So can you tell us a little bit about some of the misconceptions about mind-body healing that might be kind of a block to the successful using that successfully?
Absolutely. You know, one, I would say that a lot of times people have a belief that says that they just need to believe that they're already healed or be grateful for their healing. And so that's one that I see. And again, which goes back to the open label placebo, we can see that it's beyond belief. So I would say that's one. I would say another one, you know, when we start to look at it, so kind of to give more context, I would say this. Ultimately, what I began to realize is that to heal, that it takes multiple emotional ingredients. And the way to think about it is like this, is when we start to look at stress for a moment, so we move it forward and we say, look at our minds affect our energy and our minds affect our biochemistry. We can see that, you know, our emotions, our mindset, it can affect multiple factors in our body. So what I've started to do is just move that forward and say, okay, well, basically, I'm trying to simplify this, and I'm trying to also answer your question at the same time, but I think that to get... Okay, perfect. So going to just how to do it. So going there first, and then I'll go into the misconception. So I would say how to do it is it... What I started looking at, you know, noticing that the mind could affect the body in all these ways. Stress, energy, placebo, nocebo. I started simplifying it. And I said, okay, I just want results. What do I need to do? How can I see that our minds can affect our physical body? And I started looking at emotions. And I said, okay, well, if somebody's embarrassed, their face turns red. Or somebody's anxiety, they have a panic attack, racing heart, shortness of breath. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to need a lot more than emotions to heal me. But then, the more I looked at it, I said, well, how much can emotions really affect us anyway? So looking at the awareness that somebody can have a broken heart and die of a broken heart or be scared to death. They can be so scared their heart stops. And so I started noticing, you know, our emotions can really affect us extreme. Or even, research has shown that after surgery, if somebody is purely optimistic, so that they're optimistic, they can heal much, much, much faster. And if somebody is in fear or stress or negativity, then there's a much higher chance of rehospitalization or complications or slower healing. And so I could see all of this data. And basically what I began to figure out is that it takes a combination of emotions to heal. And that a simple way to say this is that, you know, of course, if we look at somebody who, is, you know, even has PTSD, and I have PTSD, be really, really angry or hurt or traumatized, whatever it is, and they may not be sick. And somebody else with less stress, less trauma, can be very sick. And that's what I started wondering. How is that even possible? And the way to think about it is multiple ingredients. Like if somebody's going to make a cake and they have flour, they can't make cake. But if they have flour and they mix it with multiple ingredients, then they can make a cake. And similarly, depending upon what ingredients depends on what we have, what's going on. And so that's what I would say is it really does take an understanding of identifying the specific emotions and then transforming them. And that's how I've even been able to show results under medical equipment, back to back to back, to show results. And so that is what's key. And so what I would say is one of the misconceptions is a lot of times people think, oh, it has to be the worst trauma that they've ever experienced. And I'll see some people who are just looking to just identify the trauma and heal it. But typically, it's not always the worst trauma. You know, I actually just had a medical study that was published last year in a medical journal with a few case studies in it. And in that, you know, there was somebody who experienced a lot of trauma, and yet to get to have this person release their own pain, the pain didn't have anything to do with the trauma. And so that, I would say, is another misconception, is that we have to understand what the specific emotions are and that it's not just the trauma. Does that make sense?
Yeah. The cause, the root cause of the pain may be as mixed as the ingredients that are needed to, you know, bake the cake.
Absolutely. And another misconception, a lot of times what people don't realize is even when they go to heal, if they want to heal a trauma, it's important instead to look at the pattern. Because every trauma is actually connected to a pattern. And a simple way to think about it is like this. Is that let's say somebody has a pattern of abandonment. They feel a bad, like maybe little things here and there, they feel rejection or abandonment, you know, this week or that week, and this little ways that show up in their lives here and there and here and there. But they also maybe had a trauma where their dad left or their husband or spouse left or whomever, and so they have some more traumatic instances, but they have little ones along the way. Now, what happens is that if we really, really want to heal, we can't just heal the trauma itself. We have to heal the patterned way of feeling. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. That does make sense. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so beautiful. So, and even just kind of elaborating on that more, somebody is having a panic attack, and they're having a panic attack, racing heart, shortness of breath, and they say, and there's maybe 15 reasons they're feeling anxiety in their subconscious mind, but they just deal with one, it doesn't necessarily make the problem go away, but if they get rid of the patterned way of feeling, then it resolves the issue, and so doing that basically, but at a deeper level of really creating that change. So that is what's key for sure. And creating that real change.
Great, great. Well, Randy, we're actually already halfway through the show. We're kind of zooming right through this. So I'm going to take just a 90-second break. And then when we come back, can you maybe share with us your research? You know, you mentioned, an article in a medical magazine, a medical journal. Can you tell us a little bit about how you approached your research and maybe what were some of the findings from that research? Okay?
That is a really great question. Yes, we can do that.
Okay. So everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder, we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link that will give you access to the more than 1,700 shows we have aired during the past 13 years. Also on the site are links to the products and services we provide, books, photography products and services, calendars and greeting cards. There is also a link to our account at Fine Art America where you can purchase items such as mugs, prints, pillows, and more. Our show is available as a free podcast on multiple platforms such as iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, and Audible, with icons to each platform on our homepage. We are also available on social media platforms such as Facebook, X, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Threads. Our website, www.biteradio.me, has much for you to explore and enjoy. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us again today. My special guest is Brandi Gilmore, and we are talking about her newly released book, Master Your Mind and Energy to Heal Your Body. You Can Be Your Own Cure. And when I say newly released, I mean as of today, March 12th, it is available, so definitely go to your favorite place to buy books and pick up a copy. And again, you can find out more by visiting Brandi's website, which is BrandiGilmore.com, BrandiGilmore.com. Okay, with that, we're back. Brandi?
Beautiful, beautiful. And I have to say two things. Today is, it's a beautiful day today to celebrate life, you know, just the book being released. Is just, it is changing so many lives, and I love that, and people healing themselves, and it's just incredible. I feel so blessed with the book, and it's just life. And on another note, a birdie told me today is also another day, another reason to celebrate life is I believe it's your birthday today. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, gotta love those birdie publicists.
You gotta love them, don't you? When they kind of out you a little bit, huh?
Happy,
beautiful birthday. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you. Great. Okay, so let's get back to the topic again. So, research. You know, you mentioned that you had done some research and had submitted, you know, it through a medical journal. And so I'm curious, would you mind sharing with the listeners a little bit about the research, how you went about, you know, setting up the research, and maybe, you know, one or two of the outcomes of that research that you got. Maybe you were surprised.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So I love that question. I love that question. So provide context for this. So after I healed myself, I started showing people. I wanted people to see, because we're all amazing. Not just me. We all have an incredible ability to heal ourselves, to use our minds to do so. And I know most people would think it's impossible, and I know I would. Been a huge skeptic. And I would show people, I started, you know, taking people and showing them how to release their own pain. Even from stage, I would take people from the audience and show them how to use their own mind to release pain. And I thought to myself, you know, one day somebody's going to say, that person didn't really release their pain at stage. That person just pretended to have neck pain or back pain or something like that, you know. And that would have been me before, you know, just the biggest skeptic. So I wanted to figure out a way to do it under medical equipment. And so what I what I found was medical thermal imaging. And I reached out to Dr. Hillary Smith from Advanced Medical Thermography, and basically what I had her do is I had her start scanning people under medical thermal imaging while I showed them how to use their mind. And this is what it looked like. Because let's say somebody was experiencing neck pain. Now, when the body has pain or infection, maybe if you've ever had, if anybody's ever had like a sprained ankle or an infection, you notice heat comes from that area. And mm-hmm. So medical thermal imaging is able to pick up on the heat patterns from the body at such an advanced level. And so that's what it does. It can identify the heat from infection or illness or injuries or pain, all of these things. And so if somebody had neck pain and they're being, you know, scanned under, they're getting medical images, so thermal medical images taken of their neck, you can see it's red. It's like bright red on the scan. Now, what Dr. Hillary Smith did was she set her thermal imaging camera to take a new scan every 1 second automatically. So just take it over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And then as I worked with somebody on their, with volunteers to use their mind, you literally see the scan turn from red to green as their pain goes away. And so what I loved about this is even a person might say, oh, I started out with a level 6 of neck pain, and then by the time it's done, like, oh, my gosh, the pain is gone. And what there's a few things that I really love about this. First and foremost, you can see it's not just mind over matter, because you can see that there's actually physiological changes taking place. Now, one of the things I also love about the question you asked, Robert, was this. He said, anything unexpected or of the outcomes may be different than you think or whatnot. And it's not really necessarily unexpected, but what was helpful, I guess, if you will, is that if I was working with somebody to release their own pain, and if I mentioned the hurt again, so if I mentioned, so let's say they started at a level 6 of pain, they got it down to 2, and then if I mentioned the problem, like brought the emotion, the negativity back up, their pain would come back up, and you could see it on the scan, which is really helpful because you can, again, see it's not just placebo analgesia. It's not just, oh, they think something's going to happen, and it does. You literally see the spike in real time where they go into the negative, and the scan goes up immediately. And now that was what was something was surprising, is just how fast the scan went back up and how fast you could see the pain come back. Brings about another point, and it's this. It's that when I've worked with people, you know, to help them to shift their own pain or heal from all kinds of things, I always tell people, you have to follow through. And some people, they'll, you know, get done and they release their pain and and they just say, I'm never going back into that old way of thinking, and they're done. They release it, it's great. In fact, even on my website, there's I did this under video several times under thermography, and on my website there's a video of a woman who released her own neck pain, and it was like 8 years ago, and her neck pain never came back after that one session. It never came back. And, of course, there are other people that maybe they create that shift, and then maybe they go home and they're husband or wife or whomever maybe triggers them or upsets them or whatnot, and then it comes back and they really have to then, you know, process the changes. And so the most important thing about getting real change or getting a real results is real change. So I don't want to say, oh, well, we can just get rid of our pain in minutes. We can, but the real way to get results is we have to create real change. So that's key.
Yeah. So In that example, where, first of all, you said that it's not mind over matter. It's really the body responding. Now, as you're going through the working with someone, to heal the pain, and, you know, for example, in that study, that thermal imaging example, you know, where you would go through and the person's body responded, I'm assuming, to what you're saying to the individual. So is it, to me it seems that You know, and then you said that, you know, maybe you mentioned pain and it would return. You know, I'm obviously talking very important for a continual working. So I'm just wondering if the it takes a consistent work to not have the word pain elicit, you know, that pain response. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but actually, let me explain even better.
Okay.
So great question. And let's say that somebody, let's say what was causing somebody's pain was their anger towards their father. And they felt extremely angry and extremely angry towards their father. And let's say that they had a few different emotions around that. They had guilt around it and anger around it and victim around it and also self-punishment around it. So let's say they had all of these emotions around it. And so let's say to help them to release the pain that I identified and help them to identify these specific emotions, and then I help them to feel differently about it. And when I help them to feel differently about it is when they release the pain. Now, if I was helping them to feel differently about it, they're getting rid of the anger, they're really changing, they're getting rid of the upset, they're really, really, really changing, and then as they were changing, they're letting go of their pain, if I said something to them, not on purpose, just either way, but if I said something to them, do you remember when you were really angry when your father, when you were 10, and it triggered them to feel more anger again, then the pain could shoot right back up right then. So it has to do with the specific emotions itself. Does that make sense?
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so that's what's key, and that's also what brings it back, is not necessarily the word pain, but triggering the emotion itself. And something else you actually wanted to ask, which is a great, great question, is you said, was there anything that actually surprised me about the one in the medical journal that I just did last year? And you know what? There actually was, now that you asked that question, is that one of the volunteers had a level 6 of pain, and I helped him to change it. So he used his mind, got it down to a 0. And what was beautiful was that afterwards, which I didn't know, but afterwards, he said, I am shocked, something like, I'm shocked or I'm surprised that that even worked. I just came from a 10-day meditation retreat, and before that, I was at a positivity seminar. So it was beautiful, and he was able to release his pain in 28 minutes. And so what's beautiful about this is, and I didn't know, because I didn't pick the volunteers, you know, the lab where I was doing this did. And so they picked the volunteers and whatnot, or people who were experiencing pain. But it was great because, you know, I had no idea that he had just come from this, and I just showed him how to use his mind. And it's just, what's beautiful about it is just that, you know, we can spend years and years and years trying to meditate to create change. And, you know, like some types of meditation are good, but some of them just kind of just train us to kind of mentally escape. And I know that I personally did that. So I would say, you know, if we're going to meditate, we want to be picky about what we do. We do, you know. But also to create real healing results that, you know, if we want to create rapid healing, we really need to identify the specific emotion, the specific mindset to create that change. Does that make sense?
Yes, yeah, it does. As a matter of fact, that leads me into my next question perfectly, and that is, in your book you talk about something called emotion-controlled consciousness. So, since we're talking about emotions, and can you talk a little bit about what emotion-controlled consciousness is.
Absolutely. So one thing we really want to be aware of is that our emotions and even subconscious emotions control our consciousness and our perception in life, and we don't even realize it because we're so deep in it. And one way to think about it is a simple way, is if we think about, you know, when somebody's in love, we know that they can tend to see all of the great things in somebody. And if somebody is really, really upset or just had an argument, they can tend to fault find and see all of the negativity. And they don't do this on purpose. The mind does this automatically. It controls what we see without, which we don't say, I'm in love with this person. Let's just see all the positive in them. We don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so in life, our subconscious programming is controlling what we see, what we feel. And then we get stuck in these patterns. And this is really key for healing, because what happens is this, is that when we get stuck in these patterns and it feels impossible to get out of them. And like if I give an example, let's say that somebody has a pattern of feeling abandoned or a pattern of rejection. Now what could happen is that they have this pattern over and over again and they feel rejected or abandoned and rejected. Then what can happen is then they start to see through this lens. So somebody might show up home 10 minutes late. They feel abandoned or rejected or insecure or jealous. And then what happens is from these emotional states, then they might be needy or reactive. And what happens is then they'll tend to then recreate the problem because somebody's like, I can't be with this. This is too much. And so what happens is we see, we perceive, we act, we get triggered, and then we perpetuate the problem. And to create a real change, especially a radical healing, where we really heal ourselves, we have to understand these patterns and genuinely change them. So we're not even feeling them anymore. And you know, earlier you had mentioned that the question about misconceptions, and I would say that is a big misconception when it comes to emotions, is a lot of times people will tell themselves something like, well, I forgave the person. And they think it's gone, but it's not gone. And so I would say that is all of the time. I've worked with people who have been on the spiritual healing journey for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. And they go, oh, well, I forgave my mother or I forgave my father. And they think that the issue is gone, but it's not. And a way to think about that is, you know, if you open the refrigerator and there's old food in there and you say, well, I forgive you, and then you shut the door, it doesn't make it go away. Right? And so when we have emotions, if we look at it and we say, well, I forgive you, it doesn't make it go away. It's still there until it is actually, we have to see it in a different way. We have to feel differently, or it has to be genuinely gone completely, even our perception of it. So we have to genuinely see, feel, and perceive in a different way, and that's how to get radical results. It's literally taking it deeper and further than the average person who's even been on the spiritual journey would think. Is this really understanding? That is, it's key for getting results.
Yeah. So it sounds like the key, really, to the healing changes one would want is very much tied to emotion. I mean, because when you're talking about, you know, I forgive you, I mean, there's the words, but then there's the actual heartfelt feeling of forgiving someone. And so that when, you know, when someone mentioned, like my mother, you know, would have gone through the forgiveness. If they mentioned her, then I have virtually no emotional baggage connected with that. There's like no reaction, so to speak.
Okay. I would say this.
Mm-hmm.
I would say just because there's no reaction doesn't mean that it's not affecting the health. I would have had no reaction towards mom either. So I had, the things that I had going on in my mindset were towards 9/11. And I could have, I had no conscious awareness that it was even bothering me at all.
Okay.
None. And kind of one way to say it is like this, is I had I worked with somebody recently and this person said this. He said he had had a pattern of feeling like betrayed. And, and he said, and this is what he said. He said, Brandy, I've let it go. I'm not upset about it. I don't have a lot of emotion about it. I don't have any emotion about it. It's like I have no emotion about it whatsoever. It's just a fact. And I said, okay, so you have no emotion about it whatsoever. He said, none. I don't even care. I don't even care at all. It's just a fact. And I said, okay, we'll have a question for you then. And I had him look at it in a different way. I said, okay, when you look at this situation, this person actually helped you out a lot in this way, made you a ton of money in this way, did this and this and this, and did this for your life, and changed your, and did this and this and this, and named a bunch of things, right? And I said, so when you look at it in that way, what happens? And he says, wow, I never looked at it in that way. And I said, and he goes, and I said, well, does that feel different? He's like, yeah, that feels a lot different. I said, wait a second, I thought you had no emotion towards it.
Mm.
And so my point is that even perception carries emotion even when we don't realize that it does.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Interesting. Yeah, no, that's very interesting. You know, and it really, oh boy, I mean, it really, I would think, would cause one to look at, you know, their healing, you know, particularly if it's, you know, emotionally connected to, you know, to someone, looking at it from multiple lenses, kind of more of a totality, you know, that, you know, when you're talking about the positive aspect, you know, of that particular, you know, relationship, that if a person were to look at, you know, all of that, you know, in addition to maybe that, whatever the betrayal was, you know, that in total, you know, it's, I wouldn't say healthy, but I mean, it's a clearer picture of.
Yes, and you know what, let me give you another example that's easier. I've worked with people who had a feeling of a pride in hardship. So the thing of it is that they wanted to let the hardship go, but they have a pride in the hardship, which was also affecting their health. So now let's say I have them look at it and say, hardship, you don't want to be proud of hardship. Like, that's not it. Anybody can do hardship. Instead, you want to be proud of rising up or proud of who you are or just be proud of the fact that you're loving and kind and spiritual and aware and who you are and you have a beautiful being. Don't be proud of all your hard. Like, be proud of who you are and who you've become today, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that, and then when people genuinely feel love who they are, they don't have to be proud of the hardship. They're proud of who they are. You know, for example, even with my injury, you know, a lot of times people go, oh, my God, that's the worst thing in the world. And I say, you know what? It doesn't matter. Anytime we go through pain or an injury, my situation isn't worse than anybody else's because when we live in pain or illness, it messes up all of our lives. And my situation, I don't want to be the person with the worst thing in the world. I don't want to have pride and hardship. I want to be proud of the things that I discovered and what I figured out and being able to do this under medical equipment and the discoveries that I made. Energy, it's mind-blowing. It's incredible.
Yeah.
And so it's a reframe, right?
Right. And in that case, you know, in many cases, hardship often motivates an individual to, you know, to find a purpose, kind of redefines priorities many times for
can
people.
Is that true? Because most people who have what I had don't get better. So I would say, for a lot of people, it doesn't motivate them. People who have what I had don't heal. That's part of the reason that I've become an anomaly. And so it could motivate some people.
The idea is, and it is what one does with hardship, how one responds to hardship, that can be pivotal in one's life.
Yeah, absolutely. 100 well said. 100% well said. Absolutely.
Great.
So,
well, Brent, we're down to the last few minutes. So, but I wanted to give you, maybe if you want, and give any words to the listeners, you know, kind of any message to them, you know, about healing and, or, you know, maybe something you hope they can gain by from reading your book.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would say this. There's a few things. I would say that, you know, more and more, of course, we're hearing about healing with the mind and meditations or a positive thinking or, you know, all of these things. And I would say the key is in the details. And so that was profound to me, and that's the reason that I've been able to take that people back to back to back to back and show them how to release their own pain using their mind, is because when it wasn't working, I said, what are the specific details? And so the things that you really want to take, you know, a genuine change, a real change is key. Also, multiple ingredients. So really addressing and figuring out those multiple ingredients that are affecting you, I call it the five factors. That is key. I would say another thing is understanding that the mind is very counterintuitive. And just a simple way to do this is, you know, a lot of times people always say, just bring in more gratitude, bring in more gratitude. Now, for a lot of people, they may feel feelings of undeserving or guilt from the past or like they did something wrong, like a bad person, for no reason. But they may feel guilty. And in which case, they're bringing in more and more and more gratitude. It actually keeps them more and more stuck, or helps them in some ways, but not in others, and it creates work because, and they go, oh, I'm grateful for this, I'm grateful for this, and simultaneously they feel undeserving, or, you know, the pride in hardship, or, you know, there's just so many ways that our minds get miswired. And so it's also not just about releasing things, but it's also about understanding that every single person that I've ever worked with, their mind was miswired at a deeper level. And so it's not just about releasing the patterns or cutting cords or whatnot. It's about rewiring the mind to then let go of negativity and creating that real change. And so the other thing that I would say is this. If we imagine for a moment that, like, I just see more and more people, they heal themselves. They figure out we can do it. And then they go, oh, my gosh, Brandy, I just released, you know, my neck pain, or I just got rid of my headaches, or my autoimmune blood work is now completely normal. My doctors are amazed. Or, you know, just the more that we realize that it's possible and the more we get results, the more we can make a real difference in the world. That's what I'd love to see, is just more and more people realize we can do this. And then if we should just all get results, that's how we change the world. That's how we empower people. Like, if everybody's doing it and we're getting results and we're healing ourselves, that's when we create a pivotal change. And so that's what I would say. Just results, results, results. The more we can all do this, the more we can change the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Brandy, thank you for your time today. This has really been a wonderful conversation.
I was going to say, we're all going to do it on Robert's birthday today.
Thank you.
Go ahead. I'm
sorry.
I just acknowledging that. So, yeah. So, go ahead.
That's all right. Again, I appreciate it very much. So, you have a great day, and Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Robert. I wish you a most blessed rest of your day. Bye now.
Thank you very much. Okay. Everyone, again, today my special guest has been Brandy Gilmore, and we're talking about her brand newly released book, Master Your Mind and Energy to Heal Your Body. You Can Be Your Own Cure. Again, it's released today, and go to wherever you get your books and purchase a copy. And again, if you want to find out more about Brandy and all that she has to offer, visit her website, which is brandygilmore.com, BrandyGillmore.com. And everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again, thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to BikeRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. To become a show follower, visit www.blogtalkradio.com/BikeRadioMe and click on the follow link. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at BikeRadioMe. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me, that's BiteRadio.me. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.